Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
The Beat.
May I speak with Jim Tomey, please?
This is him.
I'm calling to let you know that the baseball writers have elected you to the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Green, top of the right circle. Mishandle the puck. Hartman's got it. To DeBrincat at center ice. The Detroit native with a wing line. Shoot, he scores! A hat trick for the Cat!
On 720 WGN.
Ah, yeah, the Cat, baby. Way to go into the All-Star break, Alex DeBrincat. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. It's The Beat, Harry Tynowitz, and yours truly, Mark Carmen, with you till 7 o'clock. Harry, do you know what the temperature is outside, buddy?
It is 92 in Chicago. It's a record-breaking day, and that is why I'm just in my KU tank top and shorts.
You're actually wearing a very lovely sweater and a nice under-button shirt. You look professional today. I really don't know what to do with you. Normally, you're wearing a jersey, and you look like you're 7, well, which is beautiful, by the way.
Well, this morning at the meeting, you know, I had my Patriots throwback on. It's so funny because, like, all my friends, see me in my Patriots throwback, and they go, awesome Patriots throwback hoodie. And then my friends in the program say, awesome Sam Adams sweatshirt.
That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah.
New England, mm-hmm. Beer, all together. You doing a little AA Saturday morning. Might as well throw that out there if you're being so forthcoming right now. That's a beautiful start to the day, Harry. And then look, yeah. You get to come and hang with me. It's actually 48 degrees out, but it feels like it's like 78. I don't know about you, Harry, but I was out on the tennis court this morning, a little outdoor tennis. It's a way to do things on a day like today when you feel the fervor.
Yes. And who did you play today? Betty White?
I took on Betty White. That's exactly right. But it is. I got the spring training countdown going on right now.
How many days, Carm?
17 days, 6 hours, 50 minutes, 26, 25, 24, 23 seconds until spring training. 17 days, buddy.
I can't wait.
Right?
I cannot wait till spring training, man. Both sides of town feeling a good vibe right now.
So there's like 178 to 2,000 free agents available right now. You got Jake Arrieta out there. You've got Yu Darvish out there. And then you've got the Milwaukee Brewers going bananas.
Yeah, they got two big guys yesterday.
By the way, we're going to talk to Jason Benetti, White Sox TV from Sox Fest in about 5 minutes. But the Milwaukee Brewers go out and trade for Christian Yelich, 26 years old, left-handed hitter, center fielder. Now, probably going to play right.
Right. They got like two of the best center fielders in baseball yesterday.
Yeah, they go out 2 days ago. They go out and they sign Lorenzo Cain, 5 years, $80 million. Depressed market, great market for a Milwaukee Brewer, for a Minnesota Twin. Those are the teams that should be super active right now, for sure. I'd like to see the Cubs in there as well. White Sox a little bit early, perhaps, in the rebuild. We'll ask Jim Benetti that.
You know, we've had a couple years now of the Pirates being unpirate-like. They have been consistently good. They, you know, of course, Arrieta, you know, just was the master of his domain in Pittsburgh that night and turned him away in the wild card game. But it looks like the Pirates are reverting back to
the Pirates.
The Pirates. But Milwaukee now has picked up their slack, and they're going to spend some serious cash. If they've got a healthy pitching staff, they could finish second ahead of, I forgot the other team's name that plays in Missouri.
Yeah, I don't remember the name either. I don't know about second, man. I don't know about second. You got a guy flying around in center field who's a productive offensive player. You got Christian Yelich, who's we've had Todd Hollinsworth on these fine radio stations.
Yeah, he's a big Yelich guy.
Miami TV, he was waxing poetic about a Christian Yelich.
He's always waxing.
He's a very talented Todd Hollinsworth, looks good. So I just for a second here, before we talk to Jason Benetti, I just want to make sure that all Cub fans are aware the Brewers are coming. Tra-la, tra-la, the Brewers.
What, are you nuts? They're not at the Cubs level.
They're not?
They're much improved.
They won 86 games last year.
Right. They're not going to knock out the Cubs.
Okay. Well, they won 86 games last year. Now, Jimmy Nelson did get hurt late in the season.
Right. If he's healthy.
Well, they have some pitching. I don't think he's going to be healthy. But they may go out and sign. What is if they sign Jake? What is if they sign you?
Well, that's the one. Because Jake would not only help them greatly, it would hurt the Cubs.
Yeah. The double whammy.
And Yu Darvish, if they get him instead of the Cubs, there's another big dagger.
Sweet you. And then we end up with Alex Cobb or something along those lines. We, I shouldn't say we, I'm not exactly. Are you on the ball club? I'm not on the ball club.
I've always said we. I've always been, you know, criticized for that. But yeah. We win, we lose.
Who criticizes that?
A certain guy from Northwest Indiana.
Certain Dan McNeil criticizes you from that?
Yeah. No. Max, don't say we. What are you nuts? Don't say we. You got a mouse in your pocket.
Doesn't he?
Don't say we.
Wouldn't he say we for a Blackhawk? Wouldn't he say we for a White Sox?
No, I mean, Mac had a degree of professionalism to him that I just don't have.
Well, that's okay.
I say we. I say we lost. We, because I'm the same way in the studio that I am, like, you know, at a restaurant, in the bars.
I mean, I just called myself out on the we. But I'm okay with it. If you want to be a we guy, it's okay with me.
Apparently. Yeah, I'm a we guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went to the Bulls game last night, Bulls, Lakers, Lonzo Ball.
You saw one of my all-time favorite heroes last night.
I did?
Yes.
Who?
Not only was he like my favorite Bull for a couple years, but he was like one of the great, before, and I'm still nobody. In fact, I'm back to being more of a nobody, but Judd Bushler was so great to me at the start, and he would come on every Saturday night when the Bulls were the Rolling Stones.
Lou Aldang, I thought you were going to talk about, but Bushy was the man. Took a picture with him for you yesterday. Hey, quick time out. Jason Benetti from White Sox TV will be with us in a moment, 720 WGN.
With his communication skills, which are off the charts.
Center field. Kane looks up. It is gone. The Sox have come all the way back. Moncada to center field. 7-6. My goodness.
We're down to 17 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, now 46, 45, 44 seconds until spring training. I love this time of year. NBA in full swing, Super Bowl about to roll around, and then baseball coming. Jason Benetti, who does phenomenal work on White Sox TV, ESPN, basically everywhere you hear a game, Jason Benetti is there for you, and he joins us right now on 720 WGN, Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. Jason, I got 2020 for the Cubs-White Sox World Series. Do you think that I'm ahead, I'm behind? What would you say?
I how fun would that be? People have been asking me about years or months or about when Eloy Jimenez and when Michael Kopech are coming up, and like, I'm all about just basking in when it happens, not knowing when it happens. I'm just excited for baseball in this town, honestly, because the Sox are doing it the right way. I think the energy at Sox Fest really shows that. This is my third one that I've gone to as an announcer, and it is just different here this weekend. It's notably different. The energy is you can almost taste it.
Oh, I love tasting energy. Jason, it's very weird
it's
for me.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's very weird for me on a Saturday that you're like not in Raleigh, North Carolina for the Tar Heels and the Wolfpack, or, you know, you're not in Wichita for Creighton and Wichita State. But I love it that you're at Sox Fest. And, you know, we saw it with the Astros last year and, of course, the Cubs the year before. These patient teams that go on the rebuild, and I love what Rick Hahn's doing. It's a credit to Reinsdorf that, you know, you guys are going about it this way. I'd like to start with Lucas Giolito, even more impressive in person with that 6'6 frame. That's called a sweeping curveball. I mean, I think he might be the finest guy on your staff. What do you think?
You know, he's got a couple different versions of it, too. I mean, he's got the curveball and the slider, and he uses them in different circumstances, but he's such a tinkerer. He's a mechanics junkie. I don't know how long you've talked to him, but he's like a big time gamer. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's super sharp. His family's success in Hollywood, I think, shows that.
Yep.
But I just love listening to him talk pitching. There was a moment last night, I believe it was, he and Alec Hansen were just kind of standing in a corner talking about pitching and mechanics and things like that. Lucas is really sharp. So what you see right now, I still don't think is the finished product, and I think that goes without saying, but he's such a thoughtful guy about pitching and the art of pitching and about a number of things, that I feel like his evolution is going to be terribly fun to watch.
Jason Benetti, White Sox TV, also everything else for you right here on 720 WGN. We are talking White Sox at Sox Fest right now. Jason, what do you make of baseball's offseason? I know everyone's got thoughts on this as to why there's so many free agents still out there. Your partner, Steve Stone, I bet has a ton of thoughts on this. What are you? Is this the new norm? What are you hearing? What's your thoughts?
I think until we see how the next couple of off seasons play out, especially with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and all of the contracts that are coming up after this season, I think it's really easy to say, well, this is going to be the new norm, and it's also fairly easy to say it's an outlier. And I think we need to give it a couple of years, and if we then have continued evidence that this sort of freeze is happening, then number one, you've got your answer. And number two, I think the players probably counter that in some way. But until then, I don't think it's safe or fair to do that.
A strong Twitter follow at Jason Benetti. Jason, did I cut you off there? I apologize if I did.
No. Go ahead.
So I'm still on the pitching because it's really impressive. Your closer for this year. Do you have inside info that we don't have?
I don't think it's decided yet. I honestly think that's a spring training situation. Somebody asked Rick Hahn about the bullpen at one of the seminars at Sox Fest just today, and his answer was, "We'll see what we can do with who we have, but also I don't think a transaction is out of the realm of possibility either." I think they did a nice job last year with Swarzak and Canely in creating value in pitchers, and I think that's probably the goal again this year. But in terms of deciding who the closer is, certainly September of last year doesn't necessarily inform that because it was kind of a revolving door with Manaea and Infante at points. And so I don't think the Sox know yet. I really don't.
Let's talk about the TV booth here because we got the final year. Hawk is retiring 20 games. He's going to do opening day. He's going to do all the Sunday home games and I guess a handful of others along the way here. That means you're up to 140 or so here, Jason. And it's kind of be like, I don't know, this is a big transition year here. Hawk's leaving. How are you looking at it?
I'm looking at it as I've done a lot of minor league baseball seasons. And those are 140 games. So I'm used to doing the full schedule. This will feel a little bit more at home for me, just in terms of getting to know the players and seeing them on the road as well as at home. Because sometimes the home clubhouse is just full of people, whereas on the road, there aren't that many folks who travel. So I think there's more of an opportunity just to kind of get to know players away from the field and away from just the batting practice routine. So that's nice. And number two, I'm just excited for Hawk because Hawk has the opportunity to do this on his terms and make his choice in terms of when and how. And I'm just so excited to see the fan reaction at the end of the year because I think there is a lot of warmth for Hawk that we've seen even the last couple of years. And I do think there's it's going to be a pretty emotional time, and I'm excited to watch it because he's been a big influence on me.
You know, when you get the full 162 next year, first thing you have to do is announce that you're not going to do a certain amount of games. You realize that, right, Jason?
I'm actually cut back, right?
Yeah. It's a little too much for me. I don't think I'm going to go to Cleveland. Jason, you know, you're the perfect guy to ask about this because you sit behind the microphone for all for all these TV games, and you're also a lifelong diehard White Sox fan, but you know, the current flagship of the Sox, LS, wants out of their deal. And, you know, it's like this is a time when there's a great buzz surrounding this team. There's a great deal of hope to think, hey, the Sox are going to be very, very good very, very soon. What is your reaction to the current radio situation? Because I love Ed Farmer. And if I'm in my car and I can't hear Farmer, you know, something is wrong.
My reaction is that's above my pay grade. I don't think I'm exactly the perfect person because I'm in the TV booth. So honestly, I I don't know exactly what's going on, but I do know the Sox will figure it out.
I thought you were going to ask him about the protective netting being expanded. You put him in the radio position. No. I mean, that's an uncomfortable spot for Jason. He can't answer that question.
But he's a Sox fan first, and no, then he's like a professional voice of the team.
That's true. We're going to have a production meeting on the air.
And Jason, you've got protective netting up at home, right, all the way around the house?
Oh yeah, I in my home, you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we got a couple balls in the booth last year. In fact, within like 7 days of one another, and there was one that I was completely under the table. it was a bullet back there, and we still have the dent to prove it.
What one story that was highlighted this week by David Haugh in the Tribune? He wrote about Tim Anderson, and this has been written, last year at least, that he was having a rough year, and there was stuff going on off the field with his best friend Brandon Moss, who was murdered in a scuffle on a street in Alabama. Just an awful situation, and he's coming back with a lot of motivation, just to play with energy and have fun this year. And you're around these guys, Jason. So this is one guy I'm assuming you're rooting for big time here, and maybe you'll have a big bounce back year, and that'd be huge for the White Sox.
I think so. I mean, just being around him the past couple of days, he is as upbeat as I've ever seen him. And I know it was rough on him last year. One of the we did a kids only press conference, so only kids get to ask the questions of the players, and it was Davidson and Yolmer Sanchez and Tim Anderson. And one of the kids asked Yolmer what's his favorite position, and then the follow up the kid asked was, if it's shortstop, do you think Tim would be okay with moving to second base for you? And Tim jumped in and said, no. So I was with him for about an hour today, and I'm truly impressed with just the turnaround in his spirits. He's a pleasant guy. He's a young father. He's a good father. And I really am rooting for him. I think he's going to be a great player. And he knows, I mean, he very much knows that his September last year is where he wants to and feels he should be down the road. But again, he has not played a lot of baseball. He grew up a basketball player. And so I think this year we may see a corner get turned for Tim Anderson.
At the kids' press conference, did you guys have any players younger than the kids?
It was close. It's actually pretty close. There were. I think the oldest kid that asked was like 14 or something like that, and I'm at least 16, so it was fine.
All right, so I'm not asking you who's the best or who's going to be the greatest, but of all these young guys that are either up or coming up, is there one that you kind of get excited for every time you see him on the field?
So there are a bunch that I think are going to have the combination of talent and personality to really enliven this city. But the guy that I think has a little something different in kind of a special way is Eloy Jimenez. You've seen the video of like him knocking out lights in a home run derby in a Midwest League ballpark, and you know the lore of his hitting proficiency is growing rapidly. But the young man has not been in the United States for a very long time, and he came up to the booth last year, and he had the option of having an interpreter along with him, and he said no, and he comes up to the booth, and he spoke English so well, and he has spent so much time making sure that he can communicate with teammates, and they then reciprocate, I mean, in terms of understanding him. And I just think his precocious actions go even further than just with the bat, and I think that's such a strong signal of his ability to last in baseball as a possible star. So he's the guy for a couple of reasons that I think, you know, he could really be somebody for a large community, not only just Sox fans, but also, you know, the specific subset of Spanish speaking people who are Sox fans. And he takes a lot of pride in who he is. And I'm excited to see what he becomes. I really am.
And that trade is going to be one worth watching. I mean, we'll see what Quintana can give to the Cubs, and then Eloy, for however many years, is going to be dominating or doing a lot for the White Sox. 17 days, 6 hours, 30 minutes, and now 8.7654 seconds until spring training. Jason,
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
I thought we were counting down.
We appreciate you joining
us. I'm excited.
Yeah, I know you are. We're excited to listen to you and have a great year. And we'll be checking in along the way here. And hey, who knows? Maybe the White Sox will be even further along than people are expecting. This season could jump right into the mix. You never know.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Jason Benetti.
Thanks, Jason.
White Sox TV.
Terrific.
Who knows what's going to happen in the wild world of baseball there, Harry.
Hey, not only did the Cubs do it 2 years ago, but the Astros did it last year. Yeah. The Sox are going about this the right way, and Rick Hahn is a genius.
You'll learn how real Chicagoans live. He is a genius. The day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV News. In 2 minutes, 720 WGN. WGN 438. Thanks to Jason Benetti for coming on White Sox TV. 708 texting, and I love Jason Benetti. He's great.
He is great. What a smart hire.
My super White Sox source, the 708 continues, says if Tim Anderson doesn't turn it around in the field this season, they will move him to the outfield in a heartbeat. The Sox have many good young infielders in their system. It's definitely a make-or-break year for Tim Anderson, I would say. And a lot of guys, because there's competition all over the place for the White Sox right now.
They gave him glasses. He could see clearly. You know, that's a big difference.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get back to baseball in a bit. And also, coming up after 5 o'clock, I want to address the ESPN Outside the Lines piece on everything that's going on at Michigan State, and we may have Pat Forty from Yahoo Sports who wrote a piece on it. But I was at the Bulls game, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Harry.
Yes.
And by the way, I was thinking of you.
You love the Bulls.
I do enjoy the Bulls on a Friday night.
Yes.
And
I love the Bulls too, but not like you love them.
Well, okay, I'll accept that. I went to shoot around yesterday, saw Luke Walton, talked to Luke about who do you think. If you dropped right now in the NBA, no training, just take him in his prime, Bill Russell, 1958 Bill Russell, that level of conditioning, that size, that strength, you put him out there right now, what does he do?
Bill Russell? He was maybe the greatest defensive center of all time, but he'd be playing against guys that were, you know, the athletes today are far superior.
Right. So how do you think he would do? Do you think he'd be better than Bismack Biyombo, who's got a longer wingspan and is taller?
Bill Russell would be great in any game, anywhere, but he would be dealing with an entirely different group of athletes.
Right, right. So what do you think? Middle of the road?
I know
we can never actually prove this out, but I'm
right.
I got in a heated debate this week, Bismack Biyombo versus Bill Russell. And normally I'll be the guy that says bigger, stronger, faster, better now. But I can't concede Bismack Biyombo to Bill Russell.
No, and Bill Russell represented so many things. I mean, you know, as a player coach, what player coach has won more championships than Bill Russell?
11 championships, 13 years, Bill Russell. Bismack Biyombo.
And defense wins championships. They started saying that because of Bill Russell.
312-981-7200 is the text line. Just if you can take a second, Biyombo or Russell, who would you rather have right now? I want to know.
Or if you just want to come on WGN and say Bismack Biyombo.
Great opportunity.
Carm will bring you on. He'll say who you are, where you're from, and then you just say his name, and then we'll say goodbye to you.
Anyway, the point of all this is that I wanted to ask Luke Walton about his dad, Bill Walton, and how he would do nowadays. But it turned into a whole Lonzo Ball discussion and why. You would like Lonzo Ball, I think, a little bit after.
I would like Lonzo Ball more than his dad.
Right. I think you'd like him especially because I would go in the Laker locker room last night. They got a whole spread of healthy chicken and broccoli and all the good stuff that you would want your players to be eating. Lonzo Ball is just crushing a stuffed pepperoni pizza from, I think it was Geno's.
Now he's showing me something, man. You go to Geno's East? I love the sausage patty.
There was a bunch of individual pizzas, and he was just crushing a pepperoni.
Well, now you're showing me something.
Right.
I mean, you know, most athletes I know have a cheat day.
Yeah.
You know, so why not take it when you're in Chicago?
Right. Well, he wasn't playing. The knee's bugging him a little bit, so he just was nailing pizza.
It was the most unrecognizable Lakers team I've ever seen in my life.
That's true. There's a bunch of no-names in there, or new names, I should say. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson's one of those names. I'm standing there with the stat sheet. Like, after the game, you go down, there's somebody will hand you a stat sheet. You want the stats. I got the stat sheet. I'm waiting to talk to, I don't even know, Brandon Ingram, who had the best game for the Lakers.
Randall.
Yeah, or seeing, like, I was waiting to see if, like, Lonzo would be approachable. But Jordan Clarkson's like, hey, can I see that stat sheet? And I'm like, So I hand him the stat sheet. He's like, wow, I thought that Nico had 30. He only had 18. Like, they thought that Nico was just raining all over him. Play Nico more is the point here, Fred Hoiberg. More Nico.
How about the defense Nico showed last night in the fourth quarter?
Nico was doing his thing. But here's what I want to talk about here. 312-981-7200.
Yes.
You know, the Bulls have all these traditions. The Dunkin' Donuts race is one of them. They changed the Dunkin' Donuts race.
It's not the same without Phil Georgeff.
Well, he's still there, but he does the intro now.
Right.
But now they play music as Biggie Bagel, Dashing Donut, and Cuppy Coffee run around. And I actually kind of liked it. And I was surprisingly enjoying the new way they go about the Dunkin' Donuts race. But you still get the voice of Phil Georgeff to start the race, which is cool. But so the Dunkin' Donuts race is phenomenal. Great moment. Benny the Bull is completely out of control. And the fact that they allow taunting to go on in the stands is a bad message. I got to put it out there. I love you, Chicago Bulls. But like the fact that he's dumping popcorn on people that are wearing a Lakers jersey and standing over him, that's not the message we need to be sending.
Could be worse. Most Bulls would do something far worse than dump popcorn.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not into that. But here's my biggest concern.
Yes.
It's the Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam needs to go. It's the most awkward 2 to 3 minutes, whatever the timeout is in the game. If you're on a first, second, third date, right? And they put the Kiss Cam on, and you're wherever you're sitting, really, you're sitting there, at least I am, you're flat out terrified that the camera is going to come on you and you're going to have to do some form of makeout in front of everybody. Even if you're like, let's, and then the other side of it, I'm thinking like, what happens if you're married for 20, 30 years and you're not feeling it, and then you gotta go into the whole kiss thing, and then they always like they pick on like people that don't look like they should be kissing. They'll throw the overweight person on there, they'll throw the old person on there. They do all this thing just to get reaction. It's so uncomfortable. Kiss cam gone. 312-981-7200. Should they ban kiss cam?
All right, Carm, I'm glad that you went to the Bulls game, and rather than talking about Zach LaVine talking about
Kiss Cam, way bigger
Nico.
Issue.
Yeah. All right. Well, you couldn't be more wrong. You could not be further away from understanding the purpose of Kiss Cam.
Have you ever kissed
Let's
Cam?
Let's start with your first argument. If it's your first, second, or third date, you're terrified.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you think it'd be great to have that opening? Instead of sitting there, and I believe that you would be like in your 18th year of marriage and you'd be terrified, but there's a name for that. It's called being married. Okay, Carm, if you were on your first, second, or third date and Kiss Cam shows you and the person you're with, there's your welcome mat. There's your open door. Yeah. That opens your garage door? There it is.
No.
Hey, you got a free kiss coming. She's not going to turn away. She's not going to slap you. Or he. It's 2018.
She's sitting there in full terror as well, that the camera's not going to become, oh no, the guy's going to try to kiss me right now. I'm not ready to kiss him. It's inappropriate, man.
And you also said if you're married 18 years, it's bad. If you're married 18 years, that might be the only physical contact you have with the missus.
Well, that's on you guys, and you need to remove some pillows and get to some intimacy, Harry.
Yes. Well, perhaps if I had a MyPillow. Now, you said overweight people shouldn't be allowed to kiss?
I'm not saying that, but they pick out people, like they try to get a reaction, like, oh, look at those two. Dan Long's got thoughts on this. Yes, Dan Long, have you made out on Kiss Cam?
I haven't, no, but I was always under the impression that these were mostly plants that they put in those seats and then put them up on camera.
You think
get two promotions interns and like a guy and a girl and pretend to be some guy that's got put in the friend zone or something, and you get a laugh from the crowd.
You think it's staged, Kiss Cam staged? That's even worse if it is. I don't know if that's true, but it's possible.
Okay, now I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but there was a Knicks game when like some guy went to kiss some girl and she turned away from him and she kissed a total stranger.
Right. Now that was probably staged.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, okay? Kiss cam is a pleasant, you know, it's a fun thing. It takes your mind off of, you know, whatever you're worried about. It builds up the crowd. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, the year that the Bulls gave up, you know, their quest for championships in 1999, the Bulls like had their worst record ever. And they also sold out. They had the biggest, you know, crowds ever because people just wanted to be at the United Center. Kiss cam reminds people you're at a Bulls game. You know, it's like you get to do cool stuff at a Bulls game. There's a lot going on at Bulls games and at, you know, Hawks games besides the actual games.
And for the, I mean, Kiss Cam's in like literally every park. White Sox,
I just mentioned the Knicks.
Yeah, right. And 630 texts you, why do you think people who are overweight or older people don't look like they should kiss? I'm not saying they shouldn't kiss. I just don't need to see whoever is kissing. And the crowd's reaction is always one of like, oh, they're so old, they can't do it.
Did any overweight or old people do anything bad last night?
Yes, and last night they had an overweight couple, an older couple, uh-huh. and the crowd goes nuts, and then the old guy like climbs all over her. I'm like, don't need that. I'm at the Bulls game. We got kids in the crowd.
Was it Orion?
It was not. Was it Orion? It was not Orion. It was not Orion. No, it was not Orion. Jimmy and Steger, have you ever kissed on Kiss Cam, buddy? What's up, pal?
Mark Herman, Haley Kinowitz. It's been a while. Yes, my wife and I, we're a little older couple. We were on Kiss Cam on 4th of July in 2008 at Comiskey Park. We got more high fives and claps from people because I had my little Navy garb on, you know, pro-military guy, the next Navy guy that you guys know that I am. And it was really cool because fireworks were going off around us where it was happening. It was really cool.
That's awesome. Yes. My dad was 2 years in the Navy, and we respect, love everybody. Yeah, it's cool to be on Kiss Cam. You were a hero, Jimmy, and you weren't scared. You weren't, you know, put off by it?
No, I wasn't. As a matter of fact, it was my wife, Laura, that realized we were on Kiss Cam. That's the funny thing about it. We were paying attention. And she realized the shirt I was wearing, and then they zoomed in on my Navy hat and my shirt, and we had a nice little, probably 5-6 seconds, and we were getting high-fived by everybody. Oh, it was hilarious, guys. It was one of the best things that ever happened. Then the fireworks were going off around us. It was really cool.
Congratulations, Jimmy. Are you like the type that's like hangs out on, you know, you go to the restaurant, you have a nice meal, and then you go on the street, and it's the middle of summer, and you make out in front of everybody, too? Do you do that thing or no?
I have kissed my wife openly. My wife is a couple years older than me, guys. I'm 54. I'll be 53, Mark, in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
And anyways, and I will openly kiss my wife openly, no problem. And everybody's like, "Oh, you're such a nice couple, pretty couple." My wife's going through an illness too, so everybody's always very nice to us. That's, I assure you, this is true.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate you.
Have a great one, guys.
Yeah. You know what bugs me at Bulls games, and I've seen it at other stadiums, of course, and it's awful in Miami is when they have to get the crowd fired up. Okay, when they do that, you know, that dial, what's the name for it? When the arrow
goes... noise-o-meter?
The arrow goes from 0 to 10, and then it shakes around, and then it blows up. Bulls fans don't need that. We really don't need that. Okay, we're going to get fired up. If the team is playing hard, we're going to get fired up. I got to go to see the Heat and the Bulls the year that D. Rose was MVP, that they were in the finals, and... Gloria Estefan's husband was leading like this little band. Every break, he's talking to the crowd, getting them fired up. Like, what the hell is this?
The best in-game promotion ever was when you and John Yurkovich were both in an inflatable ball.
Oh, God. I thought I was going to die.
For those who were not fortunate enough to be at the United Center that
night.
Were
you there that night?
Yes. Dan McNeil was emceeing the event. And
yeah, of course, Mac. Yeah. Hey, this would be a great idea. You guys do the work.
Harry was in one clear spinning ball, and he was pushing it down the court, and Yurko was in the other clear ball, and of course, Harry's losing the race because
Yoko's a professional athlete.
Because he's a professional athlete. And at that point in time, by the way, you might not have been in the best shape of your life, for the record.
No,
right?
No.
And so they had to go down once, come back, go down another time.
That's where I got screwed. Okay, it's like a lottery thing, you know, where the balls. And okay, first of all, here's an idea. Don't have your contestants getting the balls an hour before it starts. There's no air in there. Yeah. They said, okay, you guys are about to go out and get in the balls. And then we sat there. We're in the balls forever. Yeah. So I thought we were going to go down once and come back. And I thought Yurko was being a great friend, keeping it close. Yurko was really, like, conserving his energy.
Right. And so Yurko's coming back as Harry's still going down. he's getting lapped, and rather than just giving up, Harry veers off course to go crash into Yurko.
It's my only chance. And he turned into Ben Hur.
He got knocked back to, like, Montana. It was hysterical.
It went from a ball race to the movie 300.
It was a massive collision.
I thought I was going to die, Carm. I'm like, where is the oxygen tank? Oh, all the guys on press row loved it. All the scores tables guys thought it was great.
It was brilliant. It was maybe your greatest moment in the city,
gasping,
honestly.
I was gasping for air.
It was so good.
At least I didn't fall off a horse.
Oh, God. Finally, somebody, 773, agree with Carm. Benny the Bulls is obnoxious. Okay. People who are saying, I don't care who kisses who. I think it's beautiful. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how old you are. I just don't think we need to, like, have a whole thing on the screen where we're picking at societal's judgments about it. I think it's,
man, you're taking it to a way deeper level.
No, I'm. It's just
hey, let's see who kisses. You know what's great that the Blackhawks do is they show during the game somebody before the game eating. And they speed it up, and the person has no idea that there's a camera on them.
Yeah, oblivious cam.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
It's awesome.
Oblivious cam is different. You deserve it if you're oblivious, I suppose. Although he's just sitting in his seat eating his hot dog. Can a guy eat his hot dog? Text line, kiss cam at the Wolves game is the best. They cross every line possible. See, it's intentional.
Wolves games, they do an awful lot at Wolves games. Well, they're damn entertaining. And you talk about, like, fireworks going off at the start of the anthem. It is pretty cool.
312-981-7200. We'll take a quick time out here. Kiss cam. It's a major issue, Harry. I'm glad that we were
able to. Do you hate the seventh inning stretch too, Carm?
No, I love the seventh inning stretch. I'm a big fan. Although I always get a little nervous the seventh inning. You got to sing. You know, if you're with, you know, look, if me and you are standing
there. Is this
there,
another if you're with a girl thing?
No,
you're just afraid of girls.
How about me and you? Like, if I go to a baseball game with Dan Long,
yeah,
or I'll go with you,
yes,
seventh inning stretch. It's awkward to stand up and sing the seventh inning stretch with that person, is it not?
I'm secure enough in my masculinity to put my arm around the person next to me and sway back and forth because you're at a game, and that's what you do in America,
right?
The U.S. of A.
So, like, Dan, if you went to a game with Harry, would you want his arm on you swaying back and forth seventh inning stretch? I'm not saying we should get rid of the seventh inning stretch, but it's awkward, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I would base it around what the people around me are doing, not even just the people I'm with, just the people, you know. You could either, you kind of do the thing where you stand there and mumble, you know, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out of the field. Or if the people around you are into it, then you could, you know, have a little fun with it.
You know, I
don't see Dan Long singing at the seventh inning stretch. I don't see, I don't know if I see you singing at the seventh inning stretch, Harry.
Are you kidding? That's the best time for me to sing because I can't sing. Seventh inning stretch, you don't have to be a singer. You could just be a baseball fan who's singing the seventh inning stretch.
You're probably on your phone. I'm going to go.
On my phone?
I'm going video cam.
There's no way. Video cam?
I'm going to.
I barely know how to return email.
At Hey Tweet Harry, you're like searching it. I know it. You're on your Twitter.
Yes. Carm.
Yeah.
The seventh inning stretch is a time for everybody at the ball game who's rooting for the home team to get. See, when I was young and we traveled, we would go, like, on the road. We would always stand at the top of the seventh. We wouldn't stand for the bottom of the seventh. It bugs me that Cardinal fans, well, they're not too smart to start with, but why am I telling people what they already knew? But Cardinal fans stand at Wrigley Field in the bottom of the seventh. Technically, you should stand for your team. You should stand in the seventh inning. But Cardinals fans can't. They have a problem when you get over five. Cardinal fans, 5-7-6, 5-6-8. Cardinal fans have a little trouble with that. You don't stand for, if you're cheering for the visiting team, you're wearing a visiting team's jersey, visiting team's hat, you don't stand when the home team is doing their stretch. You stand half an inning earlier when you get your ups for the seventh.
That's a whole different angle I never thought of. I love that you just brought that to the table. When I go on the road next year, I'll consider that, Harry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
720 WGN.
This is my kingdom come. This is
now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
You know, Harry, one thing I failed to mention, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I know you were upset that I didn't. But one more thing about Caroline Wozniacki.
Didn't we finish our tennis?
We did, but let me just tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're all about in life? You know what I'm all about in life? When the going gets tough, Harry, the tough get going.
All right.
Right?
Is that Billy Ocean?
Never say die. Mm-hmm. You're always in there.
Never gonna give you up.
It's not how many times you get. It's not how often you get knocked down. It's how quickly you get back up. That type of stuff.
I get knocked down.
You do get up again. Caroline Wozniacki was down 5-1 in the third set in the second round of the tournament against Yana Fett. 5-1 with two match points.
That's my favorite character in Star Wars.
Yes, Yana Fett. She's in Star Wars. She plays tennis. She came back from 5-1 down in two match points to win that match, and from there she ends up going on to win the tournament. So the point is, even in two
We're
match
no strangers
points
to love, you know the rules and so do I.
Right.
A full commitment's what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy.
Really good.
Never gonna give you up.
Yes.
Never gonna let you down.
Yes. Yes, all that, Harry. So good job. Anyway,
yes.
Just a reminder from your friend at the car. Never, it's even in the darkest hour, never say that. 5-1 down, two match points, she came back.
Well, thank God for the women's side, because the men's side remains, you know, just like two guys of interest. I told you before, Peter Sampras killed your sport.
I don't see. Now you want to actually really talk tennis.
No, I don't want to move on. I want to talk. You want to talk LeBron's letters. I want to talk about the NBA wanting to have gambling, legalized gambling, and also the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so we have a lot to do here.
Yes, we have a lot to do.
So, okay.
Plus, I never know when you're going to, like, you know, tell me another story about Chelsea.
That's possible too.
Right.
So LeBron James, who's having a rough month for the record, which is fine, but he's averaging like 6 turnovers a game, and he's shooting about 20% from three. It's been a rough month, but he passed the 30,000 point barrier.
Yeah,
this week.
Acknowledge the crowd.
And so he wrote a letter to himself on Instagram before he passed the barrier. He had, 8 points to go, and he writes this. So he writes himself an Instagram post, which has been liked nearly 2 million times. King James, want to be the first to congratulate you on this achievement tonight that you'll reach, writing a letter to himself. Only a handful has reached, seen it too, and while I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, please try, to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it. LeBron writing this to himself. The house you're about to be a part of has only 6 seats in it as of now. One more will be added, and you should be very proud. There's 7 people that have scored 30,000 points in the history of the NBA.
I kind of gather that when you said the house has 6 seats.
Just making sure that everybody's on board here.
I think everybody kind of gathered that.
Okay. Well,
I don't think I'm that much smarter than the average listener.
Well, you're a sports guy.
You want to give me the 6 real quick? I bet I could do them.
Go ahead. Do the 6.
Michael.
Right,
Karl Malone.
Yes,
the hard one that you might, well, you wouldn't forget, but Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk is in there.
Isn't Dirk in there?
Hang on a second.
Oh, Dirk's in there.
Now I got to do the double check on you. Go ahead.
Kareem.
Mm-hmm. Highest scoring player in the history of the NBA.
Right, so Kareem's got to be in there. Kareem, Karl, Kobe.
Who was the fastest to get to 30,000, Harry?
Wasn't it you?
It was not me. You're right about Dirk. My bad.
Yeah, baby. One of us knows the NBA on the show.
Yeah, LeBron was the youngest. Wilt was the fastest.
Well, Wilt got to 30,000 in another area.
Right. Michael was and congratulations to him on that. Michael was the second fastest. The third fastest was Kareem. LeBron was fourth, 45 games ahead of Karl Malone, who was fifth. And then you had Kobe and Dirk. Okay, so there's your seven.
How about that? I pulled a Dirk Nowitzki.
But so, like, rewinding back to LeBron's post, just to finish it up here, there are so many people, he writes, to thank you who has helped this even become possible. So thank them all. And when you finally get your moment alone to yourself, smile, look up to the higher skies and say thank you. So with that said, congrats again, Young King. One love, LeBron James.
You know what I hope? I hope that LeBron...
Hashtag strive for greatness, hashtag the kid from Akron.
I hope LeBron wrote a different letter to himself in addition to that. I hope LeBron wrote a letter that is, you know, not so much worrying about hashtags, but just kind of like reminding himself where he came from and what he's been able to do. And, you know, to me, I think he's made a tremendous comeback from the decision, which took one of the most popular players in the history of the league and alienated him from a lot of fans.
Right. So, and I think that's an interesting thing to bring up, because it's for me, it's like the decision to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and of course, we're talking about the show with Mr. Gray.
With Jim Gray, and where he announced to the whole world, I'm going to take my talents to Miami. And he did it at the Boys and Girls Club, which raised money.
Oh, come on, LeBron could write a check to the Girls and Boys Club.
Right, right, right. But so he sort of made it out, this is what, I'm going to do this and have this here, and I'm going to donate this money. And so...
So the people of Cleveland first found out that their native son was leaving them on national TV.
It's the highest rated radio show I've ever done in my life. I was in Kansas City. The whole world wanted to know where LeBron was going to go. He literally had like a market like KC. He doesn't even have an NBA team. The whole world was tuned in. But the point is this. He's writing a letter to his younger self, which I think is actually really cool to like attach to when you were a kid.
Yeah.
and do that type of stuff where you sort of remember what it was like to be young. That's beautiful. But LeBron on the court is all about making the right play. It's not about scoring the basketball. It's about who's open and the magic part of him, right? He's part magic, part, I wouldn't say Michael, because that's not really accurate, but maybe part Kevin Durant or whatever. So that's beautiful. But that part, making the right play, you write the letter, man, and you put it on your sock drawer for safekeeping. Maybe you post it in your bedroom on the wall so you can look at it, or in your bathroom or something. But like, it's where he's got to like let the entire world know he craves attention to such a level. Like, to me, I think it's beneath him, but he's always looking for the spotlight. He's got to have a decision moment where he's telling everybody. He's got to write himself a letter so everybody, if one person forgot that he was going to pass 30,000 tonight, yeah, that person would be reminded. Like, dude, you don't need to do that stuff. Just like he flops on the court, like, you're so good. You're so excellent. You're whatever, maybe the second greatest player of all time outside of centers. Just let it stand on its own. You don't need to seek this attention.
Do you think Jay Cutler ever wrote himself a letter?
Good question, and highly doubtful. But I mean, who writes themselves that letter and posts it? It's ridiculous.
It's very cool, but I wonder how different the letter would be if he just wrote it to himself and did not post it.
Yeah, I mean, if he said, look, you know, it was a special night for me. I actually wrote myself.
How does it start again? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Want to be the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment, achievement tonight that you'll reach.
Okay. I love that. I love that, but he sounds a little like Yoda. It sounds a little bit like he is aware of the fact that all his followers are going to read it. My point is, I wonder if the letter he would write to himself that he is going to open up later by himself would be a little different than the one that the public will read.
I don't know. I think that's the letter. I think we got one letter. And he wants everyone to read it, and he wants everyone to comment and tell him how great he is. And we all do this. Everybody posts stuff on Facebook looking for people to see them. I do it. Okay.
I do it on Twitter because I have a funny joke, and I won't be on the radio again for a few days, and it won't be funny then. So that's why I want to post it right. Or I want to make a point about the game, you know.
But am I nuts here? 312-981-7200. Doesn't that just seem off? You know, write yourself a letter. Hey, man, you're the greatest, and just put it out.
You know, you should, Carmen, you should have written yourself a letter when you were in college. Dear, at least you would have earned a letter in college.
Let's do it right now, dear. Yeah. Let's see, dear Carm.
Dear at the Carm. Promote the Twitter handle whenever possible.
Today you're going to do a show with Harry Tynowitz. It's going to be show number.
It's going to be good anyways.
There will be points in the show that you will not like Harry. There will be points where you think he's the greatest person of all time. Mm-hmm. There will be points that you'll remember how you used to listen to Harry and he inspired you to go into radio when you were, you know, and Harry is still a very...
Well, you make it sound like I'm 40 years old.
I know
older
you get
you.
you get so.
I mean, if you want to point out that I'm older,
it's got nothing to do with age. You were just further along in your career. I was
at one point.
Well, hey, at least you were there, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you had. Don't diminish that.
Uh-huh.
You lived the dream for a long time. Very few people got to that level. Maybe you'll get there again.
I'm still living it.
That's exactly right.
You know what? I'm still living it. And, you know, when life throws you potholes, don't smoke pot.
Good tip. Solid tip. I liked it. Then the other side of it, by the way, there's this Kevin Durant character, if I may.
Yeah.
Who is screaming at officials, getting himself kicked out of games.
His mom is not happy about that.
His mom is not thrilled about that. But at least, like, I don't know why I see it this way, but with KD, like, I think it's honest. Like, his move to Golden State, people hated it. He got a lot of flack on it, gets crushed on Twitter. He created a fake Twitter account. That wasn't honest. But there's a part of Kevin that's coming out that we had never seen before, and it's like, okay, well, that's you then, man. Like, there's an angry part of KD, and he wants to tell the whole world to get off his back in less nice terms. And it's coming out on the court of referees. It's coming out on Instagram. It's coming out on Twitter. It's coming out all over the place. But like I hear it, I'm like, okay, I get it. You're angry that people are giving you a lot of flack for making a decision that was best for you. And most people, what Kevin Durant did, as much as I hate what he did, because he left a team where he was up 3-1 in the Western Conference semis, and they end up blowing the series, and then he goes and joins the 73-win Warriors. It was the softest move in the history of sports. But he went to a better market with less responsibility and to play with a bunch of guys that he loves. It's not exactly a decision. Most people, where would I like to work? Oh, I have less responsibility. My life's going to be easier. I'm going to live in a better city. Most of us would make that decision.
You know, the Portland Trailblazers finally came out and said that they made a mistake taking Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. How did it take them 10 years? I mean, really? You think you might have made a mistake there?
Yeah, but what's the point in even saying it?
Kevin Durant, they said, had the greatest workout that a college player ever had for them. And they still took Greg Oden because there's such a premium put on big men, especially if they're really 56.
Right. Well, we've seen that over time.
It was a Jayhawk guy, Kevin Pritchard, who screwed up and didn't take Kevin Durant.
I'm drafting Greg Oden. I'm drafting Sam Bowie. I'm ruining my life. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. After 6:30, we'll talk a little Baseball Hall of Fame. Sammy Sosa's still on the ballot. Needs a little bit of a rally here.
Yeah.
Just to drop 7%, but 5% or more, you're on the ballot. He's still on the ballot, Harry. And Kerry Wood got 2 Hall votes.
I love Kerry Wood. Kid K. But he, his final win totals in the 70s. Shocking.
Yeah. I don't think that Woody's getting into the old Hall of Fame. But there's a little uptick with Clemens and Bonds. We'll talk about that coming up after 6:30. Quick, I want to give you a little mention here, Harry, in the college basketball world today.
Yeah, oh, Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk got it done as they beat Texas A&M 79-68. But number 2, Virginia over Duke 65-63. A bunch of Grayson Allen moments
Ooh.
In that one. Yeah, it was a good one. And Northwestern is back on the station Monday night at Michigan. And they've won 2 in a row. And First Dance was a BTN original this week.
Solid show.
Great job by Bill Freeman, their coordinating producer, amongst a bunch of people putting that thing together. So we had Chris Collins. I was sitting in for Dave Ennett, who's been off this week, so I got to fill in a couple times. And Chris Collins was on the show on Friday. So I laid it out to Chris, the plan for the rest of the way and how they can get in the tournament, and he completely bought into it. So I think the Cats are going to be there. They just have to win out. It's no problem.
Did he ask you to come work with the players?
Did not ask me for any actual contribution. It's actually painful to watch First Dance and see what was last year and see what's going on right now. Like, they shouldn't. They just shouldn't be in this position.
No, they shouldn't be, but they could still come out of it.
They basically have to win out. It's going to take a little bit.
But don't forget the tournament.
Michigan. Well, okay, they could win the Big Ten tournament. Win the Big Ten tournament.
Right. Sounds crazy.
It sounds a little nuts. And not going to happen. But realistically, I think they could lose maybe one more game. Maybe two and still do it. But if they have Monday's a huge opportunity. Michigan's a ranked team, went on the road. That would start to build some momentum. The seniors that are on there that are leaving, Bryant McIntosh, mm-hmm. Scotty Lindsey,
they're two best players.
They deserve to go one more time, I think, for all they've put into the program, Harry.
And congrats to the state school. The U of I got their first win.
Yes, beat Indiana.
First conference win, I should say.
Right, and elsewhere, college basketball today in the state, just want to shout out. Did you know, Harry, that I was an incredible play-by-play voice? Not play-by-play.
Up in Rockford.
Public address for the Northern Illinois Huskies.
Yes, sir.
Have I ever mentioned that to you?
You have.
Let's talk about me.
You also did a radio show in Kansas City.
I might have done that too, yeah. NIU fell to Western Michigan today, 79-72. Huskies now 3-5 in the MAC.
Do you know if you move your kids into Kalamazoo and they go to 4 years of high school in Kalamazoo, they get a scholarship to Western Michigan? How cool is that?
Is that right?
How cool is that? Think about that. Think about how much money it costs right now to get a college education. You get to live in the great Kalamazoo. Big fan of the zoo. And you get to, remember my wife grew up there and is from there, and my in-laws still live there.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's going on here? Why are we talking about Kalamazoo? This is a Wendy Love.
There's,
okay.
there's also a beer that is brewed in Kalamazoo. Can you tell me which beer?
Beer in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Don't know the answer. Can't tell you.
Bell's Amber Ale.
Is that right?
Yeah, it comes from Kalamazoo. So if you go into Kalamazoo before your kid hits high school and they spend all 4 years in high school, or, like in your case, 7 years, you get a free ride to Western Michigan.
That's huge.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can be a Bronco.
My daughter told me, Lucy told me that she's at Evanston High School, that Northwestern's acceptance rate of Evanston High School students has never been higher than it has been right now. And she says the kids at school think it's because they want to make sure that they're taking kids that are going to live there so they will contribute more money, be more active in doing things with the school. I mean, you get one Northwestern grad to donate a check. You don't need, 100 of them. I just think, they want to, support the local high school. I don't think it's about money necessarily.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah. Great win for Evanston High School last night. Kid made an 85-foot shot at the buzzer.
Were you there?
I was not there.
But don't you go to, one high school game at least every 3 months or so? Aren't you a big high school
guy? Football, I go to Loyola.
Okay.
My buddy
okay.
John Holosek, who should be the head football coach at Loyola at the University of Illinois, but he has not been a head coach in the NFL, so he's not. But yeah, I go to Evanston High School and support them. And
good shot at Lovey there.
The kids left today, Carm. Lucy's been waiting for 2.5 years. The kids left today to go to Japan. Remember we hosted a kid last year? We were a host family.
I do remember
this,
that, yeah.
This young girl came from Japan, and what a culture. I mean, she just appreciated everything. She's so respectful, and she demands your respect because of the respect she gives you and everything else. Lucy and 18 other high school kids from Evanston are on a plane for 15 hours, and they're going to be in Japan.
That's beautiful.
What a trip.
Great parenting by you.
Hardly.
You got her ready to go to Japan.
Yeah.
That's a huge experience for her, mm-hmm. especially at this age. All right.
Yes. Jennings and I were in high school, we got a trip up to Milwaukee. We spent the whole weekend at the PBR mansion.
WGN 6:34. Amy Guth coming up at 7.
Guth.
Great to be with you today. Mark Carman, Harry Tynowitz. So the Baseball Hall of Fame team, we've got four inductees this week, highlighted, of course, by Jim Thome, the former White Sox, 612 home runs, the most walk-off homers in the history of the game, 13 of them, Harry. Of course, played in the steroid era, never a hint of a scandal with Jim Thome, and just a great guy off the field, right? It's super cool to see him going in on the first ballot. And you had the Chipper Jones, maybe, you know, one of the greatest switch hitters of all time. I'm not going to put him ahead of Mickey Mantle, but certainly right up there. And Trevor Hoffman, phenomenal closer. And Vlad Guerrero, who could hit a ball that was thrown 30 feet and bounce, and then he'd knock it out of the ballpark and had a phenomenal career with the Expos.
And could probably throw you out from the warning track.
Right, he had like an Andre Dawson-style arm, if you will.
Of the four guys, let's just start with this real quick. Of the four guys, which do you think had the most impressive career?
I would probably say Chipper. He was always in the middle of the lineup on a team that was winning divisions every single year, switch hitter, playing third base. I think I'd take Chipper.
I would take Trevor Hoffman.
Wow.
Trevor Hoffman had over 600 saves. Trevor Hoffman, and you know, he's just been, you know, he was spectacular. He was a fireballer, and late in his career, he couldn't throw the heater anymore. So he had to find a way to get guys out, and he like totally changed the way that he pitched. Relief pitchers, you know what a big fan I am of kickers in the NFL, right?
Sure.
And they don't like kickers in the NFL. They recently, took Morton Anderson from Michigan State, but Jan Stenerud was the first kicker in and the only kicker for a while. And Vinatieri for sure is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Guy won two Super Bowls, so he for sure is going to get in the Hall of Fame. But for whatever reason, the position of relief pitcher, guys that have never started a game, has been ignored by the Hall of Fame. And Mariano Rivera is a cinch to get in. But Trevor Hoffman, I think, incredibly fantastic the way that he switched from just being a flamethrower to being a pitcher.
Yeah, I always thought that I didn't get it. Like, I'd watch Trevor Hoffman come in. I'm like, mm-hmm. Why can't you hit that changeup?
Do you remember his song?
Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells.
Yeah, I remember, pal. I was in San Diego for some painful Cubs losses, mainly in 2001, when they were right in the middle of the race. This year they went and got Fred McGriff. And you had
when Fred McGriff said no the first time?
Yeah, and then you had the three Fs, Facero, Flash Gordon, and Farnsworth out of the pen.
Mm-hmm.
Love that pen.
Yeah, 13, 45, and 44.
It's Don Baylor. So Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens both ticked up. They're getting close to 60%. You need 75 to get in. They both have 4 years left on the ballot. Sammy Sosa is sitting there at 8% because the majority of his home runs and his production came from 98 to 2003 when it was widely suspected, of course, that Sammy was on mm-hmm. the juice. And he did have the positive test and ended up testifying before Congress, or sort of testifying before Congress. Where are you at on this, Harry? Because, I don't think any of them should get in. And Barry Bonds has, for his career, he has a 162 war, which is completely and utterly ridiculous. War measures your value each and every season. I mean, Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame by about 7,000 miles. But he cheated the game. He lied. He cheated all of it. And he would have been a Hall of Famer easily if he had just, gone about his business. He was great as a Pirate, great as a Giant. Then he got really irritated watching Sosa and McGuire and said, okay, if you guys are going to do it, I'm going to do it too. And then he hit 73 home runs. And no, you're out.
Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame if they buy a ticket. Otherwise, they have no chance of ever getting into it. I know never say never.
I know
never say never, but Roger Clemens is arguably the game's best starting pitcher. Seven Cy Young Awards at a time when hitters were, blasting the ball all over the place. Barry Bonds is arguably, and this is a much stronger statement, Barry Bonds is arguably the best outfielder in the history of the game of baseball. And they're both never going to get in because we have no idea how many times they cheated. And there's guys that cheated that are in the Hall of Fame.
Clemens is at 57.3%. Bonds is at 56.4%. That's up from like they were at 53.
Mm-hmm. Remember, they only get 15 years.
No, it's I think it's 10. They've got 4 years left, each of them. You know, they've got all these fancy statistics that are out there right now. F4 is one of them from FanGraphs. It's a way of valuing players. Bonds has the second. He's the second greatest hitter of all time if you go by F4, and Clemens is the best pitcher of all time by the same metric. I mean, that's how good. I mean, not that we need to know that.
Who is Bonds behind? The Riot?
He's behind Ryan Terrio. That's correct. I'm not sure who Bonds is behind. It's irrelevant. They both belong as by overwhelmingly by their numbers, and I mean it's personal too. Barry Bonds, and that's not fair. I hate that part about baseball. The writers don't vote for guys because they didn't like covering him. He was a surly guy. He wasn't good to the media. He didn't talk to me. I'm not voting for you.
That should not factor. That's not. I believe you're selling the writers short there, Carm.
Does that not happen?
I think there might be an individual who votes individually for someone who's, you know, who they didn't like, or, you know, maybe like one vote or two votes, but I don't believe that happens.
I'm not saying it's...
Steve Carlton was a jackass when he played. Steve Carlton was a jerk when he played. And he finished his career with the White Sox, by the way. And they called him Lefty. And Steve Carlton was on some awful Phillies teams where the team would be like 35 games under 500 and he would be like, you know, 15 games over for the season. He was a jerk to the media. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Was Carlton a first ballot?
Pudge Fisk? Oh, Steve Carlton.
Yeah, it was Steve Carlton a first ballot Hall of Famer? Double checking.
Find out.
Dan Long, was Steve Carlton a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because he should have been, but I feel like he wasn't because...
He was.
Okay.
95.8% of the vote.
Okay, take it back. Never mind.
I mean, so there's a guy that's...
Point given, Harry, you win.
First point given was a good racehorse.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bob Baffert trained him.
Look, I don't lose sleep over this stuff. Like, if they get in, they get in. If they don't get in, they don't get in. Ron Santo, I did lose sleep over for a period of time.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, come on. Belonged in the Hall, then he passed away. Then they put him in.
Right.
It's just gross. But I don't. The part that bothers me more than anything else is if Clemens and Bonds are at 56%, Sammy should not be at 7. I'm sorry. That is the only player in the history of the game to hit 60 homers in 3 separate seasons. He's the only one to ever do it. He hit 609 home runs. I don't care if he did it in the steroid era. Baseball created that. They wanted it. They loved it. They knew it was going on. So to say that Sammy, with those stats, is just completely unworthy, and Bonds and Clemens are ticking up and are going to be over 60%. And granted, Bonds and Clemens are better baseball players. I'm not arguing that than Sammy. But Sammy's stats are overwhelmingly Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tim Tomei hit 612. Sammy hit 609.
Right. Jim Tomei, there's not a whiff of anything, you know.
Jim Tomei was a designated hitter mostly.
Right.
And Sammy, when he was young, was a very good outfielder. Sammy was a 30-30 guy. Sammy could impact the games in a lot of ways when he was young. Then he got all bulked up and that ended.
His own team turned their back on him.
Well, and he also, I mean.
Right.
He's got a.
He said he couldn't speak English.
Yeah, he lied.
Well,
he lied. He corked a bat. He did. I mean, the whole thing's gross. But stat wise, he belongs in there. So if you're going to put in Bonds and Clemens, Sosa should be there. Maybe they all won't get in. Hey, congratulations to Sam Panionovich.
Sam Pan,
who is leaving WGN Radio. He's going out to Las Vegas, where I got to be honest, quite frankly. Sam sort of belongs in Vegas, and he just walked in the studio, so I want to congratulate him on his move, and I know that he's been planning something big for a long time, and now the opportunity has come, and he has opened the door, and as he put on your Facebook post, the ink is dry, which was one of the more amazing posts I've ever seen. Congratulations.
So I had to do something.
Hey, man, that's awesome. VSIN, V-S-I-N.
VSIN.
What is it?
Vegas Stats Information Network.
So what are you going to be doing?
I'll be a host. I have my own show like you guys. Isn't that pretty cool?
That's
I hope it's Hope you get a little, well, never mind. You'll be great doing that, Sam. When will you be on? Because that's a network that people can stream. There's a TV camera. We can see you as well.
XM Radio 204. Yeah, I'm actually going down. My first day is the 11th. I'm going to host 12 to 3 Vegas time. Then I'm hosting 5 days in a row. Then hosting on Sunday, flying back to Chicago, packing up all my stuff, driving out. Probably going to get a U-Haul, and then the way it's going to work, Harry, Brent is the face. Brent Musburger is the face of the network. He's going on sabbatical for 6 weeks after the Super Bowl.
I've heard of him.
Yes. So he's taking time off. All the hosts that have been working pretty much every day since August, they're going to start alternating weeks off. I'm going to do mostly fill-in stuff till all the boys are back in town, and then once that happens in either May or June, they're expanding and relaunching a lineup.
That's awesome, Sam. You deserve it. You know, Carm, I love going to Vegas for 4 days. I don't know if I could live there. It's too dangerous. Sam, how will Sam do living there?
I think he's going to do great. Great climate. I don't know. Do you like the heat? Are you a fan?
The heat's fine. Here's my thing, Harry. For the last 2 years, I've left my house on average 9 in the morning, get home from whatever job I'm doing at midnight, probably 5 days a week. And then on the weekends, I come here. It's 7 a.m. and work until noon. So it just, my batteries are on low right now. And this gives me a chance to focus on just one thing. No more teaching class. No more covering hockey, basketball, baseball. Not that I didn't love what I do here. It's just, it's time to channel everything in one area. And I'm looking mostly forward to that. Not to mention, not bad to have a social life in Vegas.
No, not bad at all. Wish there were some...
I don't know what a social life is right now.
Dan Long just moved around in the producers with getting all excited at your social life in Vegas.
I'm excited for you. I'm living vicariously through you.
Well, that's because he said he's going to stay on the sectional when he comes in town.
That's a beautiful thing.
I put an open invite out. You know people are going to be coming. That's the problem.
That was very warm. That was a very warm, sincere, hey, you got to come visit me when you're out there.
As you were saying, though, with the social life and the distractions, because that's the capital of distraction, USA, the issue is I feel like every weekend somebody is going to come down there.
Hell yeah.
And say, hey, let's go, and I've got to pick my spots.
So is the show all about gambling, or you're just talking? How does it all work?
Well, the station is all about sports for Vegas people. So lines, odds, spreads, matchups,
you
trends.
You love this stuff.
Yeah, this is right up my wheelhouse. That's what I've been doing on the podcast, Chicken Dinner, for 2 years now.
Right.
And, it's teaching, educating, informing, but also entertaining. So we're not going to give out our 5-star lock of the month on the show. We're going to talk about why the line is what it is and where the discrepancies in the market are, where the public is betting, where the big money is at. It's an informational tool, and if we do it right, it's going to take off.
Are you going to get rich too?
I don't think so.
Are you going to get?
I don't play that much. I don't play that much money. I don't have that much money.
That's going to be a lot of temptation. A lot of temptation. You call up at the Carm. You call up Perry when you want to make a bet, just to talk about what's going on the inside, and we'll stay because
Sounds like you want the inside scoop. That's what
well,
it sounds
that too.
Like.
But I don't. I'm not a gambler. Sometimes I feel like
Well, because you'd bet with your heart and get killed.
Yeah, that's well, right. But I would never
You'd bet the Bulls in the playoffs against the Cavs or the Heat.
I did do
and
that.
And get crushed.
I do love those bets. It's more fun that way. You want to have a little extra on the line. Harry, you know this life.
Do you think? Do you think? My bookmaker gave me a $200 scarf from Barney's 1 year at Christmas. Is that a good or a bad sign?
That's a bad sign for you. Yeah, there you go. Voice of the sky, David Jennings. When he knows, you're in trouble, Harry.
A $200 scar for real?
Yeah, from Barney's.
Oh my God,
of New York.
He really did like you.
That's a we appreciate you gift.
Yeah, that's called we love you to death because you keep losing money hand over fist. We happy.
Well, actually dropped it off in a brand new Land Rover too. He
really?
Drove up and yeah, probably.
You know, I will say this about gambling. It's action. I mean, there is something about. I want to preface it by saying. Only bet what you can afford to lose.
Oh, of course.
But it is action and it's energy. And when you've got, when you walk into a bar and there's someone intently staring, you know, it's 11:30 at night, and someone is intently watching, you know, the
Hawaii and Nevada.
Yeah, well, Saturday night, you know, the Hawaii was the get even game,
the midnight kick,
right? But I'm talking about like on a Wednesday night, 11:45, watching the Rays and the Mariners, you know, and staying with it for 16 innings. You know, that could be a problem
when you bet the under and a grand slam beats you in the 11th, something like that.
Yeah, but I think, you know, but I think that the important thing is that, you know, you have an opportunity to do something. You know, so sports radio, when I was young, I loved sports. I never thought sports radio would be a thing. And then it started, and I didn't say, well, man, I can be the best one ever. I thought, you know what? I can suck as much as those guys, and I can be much more entertaining. And I, you know, now sports radio for gambling talk is a thing.
Well, that's because the industry is growing. It's right. Up 250% in the last year. In the last 365, it's up 250%. People are doing it more and more. They're trying to take it out of alleys and corners and put it into storefronts and shops. And I don't know if you can walk across the street in 5 years and go to Walgreens and bet, but this country can make a lot of money if they legalize this.
Hey, we didn't think 5 years ago you could walk in Walgreens and get sushi, and now you can.
Well, and plus the NBA, I mean, the big story this week is that they're going to try to legalize gambling nationwide. They want to cut the action 1%.
So smart.
I mean, that just sounds so aggressive. But
do you know how mainstream it is overseas? During an English Premier League game, there are kiosks in the concourse where you can walk up and bet on either team playing. You could bet on the amount of goals scored. You could bet who scores the next goal. And then the commercials on the TV stations, when they go to break, the first commercial is the new odds, sponsored by Warby's or whatever book overseas. They buy the ad space, and when they go to commercial, it's not Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Visa. It's
Land Brokers? Is that the...
Fine. Whatever. Yeah. That is the first ad you see with the new line. So they pump it and pump it and pump it.
I've always wanted to go to a European racetrack. Because the bookies stand up on the box, and they will lock you into your odds. You know, if you bet at the racetrack here in America, the odds change. So you could bet a horse when he's 12-1, and he goes off at 5-1, and you only get 5-1. In Europe, they will lock in your odds.
Most importantly, 312 is texting in here. Sammy, forget the U-Haul. Do a Jew-Haul. Have Harry and Carm take you out to Vegas.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you said it, okay, that's fine.
Carm knows all about driving to Vegas.
They have this new thing now. Have you guys heard of this pod? It's called Pod, P-O-D. They show up with pretty much a small shed to your house or apartment or condo, and they load it all up, and when they get X amount of pods to a certain location, they throw it on a flatbed and drive it to your location.
It's called LTL Freight, my friend. As I could tell you from my years in the freight industry, which were 2 years of great production at Transportation Logistics Central. That's what you're looking at, which will lower your cost, Sam, but it's great for the trucking industry because then they have all the separate pods that you're talking about on one thing, and they get their money times two.
I'm getting super excited too, just looking at apartments now. The housing market out there.
You got to go for the apartment place with the pool.
They all have pools, but I'm talking one bedroom in Vegas.
Well, so you're not going to like live at the Rio?
No, I can't live at the Rio. Not yet. Maybe next year, Harry. Maybe next year. Year one is going to be apartment. It's going to be, you know, noodles and cheese or whatever. But a one bedroom in Vegas is like $850 a month. Downtown Chicago, it's $2,500.
I had a house in Kansas City for $850.
A house.
Yeah, it was great. This is a whole new world, man.
Does it come with the showgirl?
It does not.
Well,
it does not.
Bottom line, congratulations!
Thank you,
and you're gonna do awesome.
Keep in touch. You guys got a guy now in Vegas.
We got the guy in Vegas. I'll miss you at the United Center when I ask LeBron great questions and you give me the complete mocking Carm. Why would you ever?
You're
ask
the only
that?
Guy that ticks off LeBron.
LeBron loves me. It's my guy.
Carm, in 3 years we'll go out to Vegas and Sam will say, "Hey, want to have brunch with me and Gruden?"
Yeah, he's
3 years. I might be dead by then.
You're gonna be buddies with Gruden. You got to make that happen. You guys, there's a love for them.
We should do something when they release the Major League win totals.
Okay.
Cubs, Sox, see what the number is.
Absolutely.
And come on and talk about it. That'll happen right around March.
All right.
So we'll talk about that. We should do it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sam, you deserve it. Be great.
I will.
Be somebody. Like Steve Martin says in The Jerk, be somebody.
I'll try.
Quick timeout. Gooth coming up.
Gooth.
720 WGN.